Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business, take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/theathletic.
On today's episode of the Glue Guys, we're going to talk about, hey, the Nets, they're good. They're good, but are they great? I don't think so, but we'll talk about it.
Well, hot take. Coming up.
Let's get in there.
Welcome back to the Glue Guys. This is Mike here, Sale O'Brien.
Hello.
Check us out on Twitter at BKGlueGuys, NetsDaily.com, The Athletic.
Get yourself by the baby wall, TheAthletic.com/GlueGuys, a subsidiary of the New York Times. Ryan.
Michael, did you watch some games?
Dude, there were some. So the Nets are, our last episode are the Nets good? And I think they're good. How good they are, I can't quite determine. I think I want to blame Kyrie for me not being able to figure that out, but I don't know where, how angry am I allowed to be at Kyrie these days? I can't figure out.
You're not allowed to be very angry at all, Mike.
Yeah, I think I've already used all my I am mad at Kyrie points.
Yeah, you've
already.
You've used
I can't
your tokens.
Be mad at him
you've
anymore.
Used your tokens. He's back. He's playing okay. So that can't be. I was trying to go through like the advanced analytics today. I was just looking for like, why is it that we're not getting, I mean, we're like 11-7 since Jacques Vaughn took over. Pretty good. You know, but it's something doesn't, it's, but why does it always feel this way, Mike? Why is it always,
it feels this way. Kevin Durant had 4 turnovers in the fourth quarter. Mm-hmm. And the last one was that one where he's dribbling up top of the key. The game's basically over. But there's a chance the Nets could come back, and Jason Tatum just rips it away from KD and goes and scores a bucket on the other end of the floor.
A couple of those.
And it's like, here's the problem.
Okay, hit me.
As much as Kevin Durant is an MVP candidate, there's no question that he is. I mean, he goes for 31, 5 assists and 7 rebounds on 54% shooting against the best defensive team in the NBA, or one of the best defensive teams in the NBA. I know we can't really be that critical of Kyrie. It's not allowed anymore. You know, he repented. But Kevin Durant is still not necessarily the guy. He's not Luka. He's not Steph. He's not a ball-handling guard who can just sort of control the game at the end and really close it out. As great as he is, he's amazing. It's Kyrie's job to do that, and Kyrie was poopy against the Celtics. He was bad.
He was
bad. B-A-D. Bad,
yeah, he wasn't having a good shooting night, but also I was trying to look into the advanced analytics, Mike, on NBA.com. Shout out to our sponsor, NBA.com. Just kidding. but they, and I was like, okay, let's like try to figure out what exactly is happening here at the end of these games, because it seems like we, you know, when we lose a game, we lose it in a very similar way. We've talked about it a million times in the show. And I was like, all right, let's look at these crunch time minutes. And as NBA.com defines it, crunch time is within 5 points with 5 minutes left to go in the game. Kyrie's only played in 3 games in which that's been the case. So like that, and then I was like trying to think like, oh yeah, like let me think like when like we're
Wait,
always
he missed some games this year, right?
He missed some games, but also like, and not to say that like, but also Kevin Durant only played in six games like that. So like, we're not weirdly like we're not even in the crunch time statistical realm. like we're just outside of it because like we're always within like 7 points or like 6 or 7 points, just outside of that 5-point metric system that they use. And well, and I was like, this is too small of a sample size, so I'm not going to like actually put any, you know, stock in this. But Kevin Durant has been assisted on 100% of his field goal attempts in that very small data set.
Interesting.
And Kyrie Irving has been assisted on 0% of those field goals.
Wow, that is a stat, Brian.
It's a stat, but it's a tiny. It's a tiny.
What does that tell you?
It's a tiny, tiny percentage, because, like, again, it's only 3 and 6 games that actually fit that designation.
I am obsessed with shot charts.
I wish that there was a way to extend that just to the 7-point range. You know, just give me that 7-point range because that's really where we seem to be stuck.
Okay. So, like last night, I think that's. There's no moral victories, but the Nets were not outclassed by the Celtics until just the very end of the game.
Yeah.
Right? And so if you want to take away anything good, the Nets did not have Ben Simmons. The Celtics did not have Marcus Smart. Marcus Smart's a better player right now than Ben Simmons, and obviously he means more to the Celtics. Mm-hmm. But still, you know, both teams were down a defensive player of the year.
Yeah.
And it was relatively close, and the Nets were competitive, even on a bad Kyrie shooting night, even on a bad Royce O'Neal shooting night. And so, like, I don't want to, like, crush the team. There's no reason to crush the team. This should be a thing of, like, if they had lost by 25 points, you could feel everything that had happened, the 4-game winning streak up to the last night's game, was illegitimate, not legitimate. Mm. Well, you play Boston relatively close. Boston is the best team in the NBA. The Nets are still forming. It's not embarrassing, but there is like this just symptom that has happened at the end of these games, the games that they've lost, where KD is not a reliable ball handler all the time if the defense is completely trying to crush him. Mm-hmm. And Kyrie, I mean, look at his shot chart last night. The shots that he hit were, there's two right around the free throw line. There was 1-3, and basically everything else was at the bucket. He missed like 4 layups last night. He missed 4 3-pointers. He took a couple of corner non-threes, meaning along the baseline. Yeah,
toe on the line.
We don't want to do that. No. I mean, it's, and so if I'm Kyrie, I would say, this is what I would say, because I'm petty. Mm. I'd be like, well, the team suspended me and disrupted my flow because before that I was crushing it, which he was. And now his flow has been, well, relatively, his flow has been disrupted.
Yeah.
I do want to ask you the question. We talk about Joe Harris needing it back in the rhythm of things. Seth Curry, right? These guys coming off injuries. Do we need to give Kyrie the same amount of coverage because he was suspended 9 games because of what he did on Twitter and Instagram? Or does he not deserve the same amount of sort of, I don't know what to call it, just like, but coverage? Just, he doesn't,
yeah,
he doesn't, we don't need to feel bad for him.
It's a complicated question, Mike, and a good one. You know, because there's a
Chinese rust,
a practical, you know, version of it and an impractical one. And, you know, I don't fault people for wanting to be like, hey, stay in game shape. You got suspended. You're not actually injured. There's, there's another version of it, which is like, yeah, basketball is actually pretty complicated. Rhythm is a tricky thing. Also, like, you did a bad thing and it's awkward, you know, now there's like a whole awkward element to it because we're not just robots. Okay. It's not AI out there. It's not Tesla self-driving cars, Mike. These are human beings. And if things are weird and uncomfortable, that might manifest on the court in ways. I don't want to get too, you know, in people's heads, but it's just an awkward thing. And so like, you know, I'm a huge high EQ guy. You know this, Mike. You've been around me long enough.
Big time.
I make a lot of space for people to feel their feelings. It's a big part of EQ.
You got that big EQ, you know what I'm saying?
Hey, now. But I'm, you know, at the same time, I have my own, you know, sort of pet peeves, and this is part of the Kyrie Irving experience, you know? It's just part of the thing. Usually, actually what scares me more, despite how, like, if the shots aren't falling, whatever, the one thing that I would like to see more is the drives. But, like, again, he's still kind of, the fact that he's even in the corner taking those spot up threes or non threes in the case of last night, belies a little bit of the buy-in for team basketball that we want to see. It didn't work because not only were his shots not falling, but, like, you know, Royce had a pretty nasty game. A lot of guys had a pretty nasty game that could have changed things. Also, you know, the fixes in from the refs, per usual, you know, all that stuff.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, the NBA hates the Nets and so, loves the Celtics.
So that's all there. I mean, I've never, can I just go on to that? Like, Grant Williams, if there was, like, an analytic of handsiness over actual fouls called, like, he's got to be in the most elite territory. This tracks even back to, you know, last season when he was just allowed to, like, bear hug Kevin Durant before he got the ball. Like, his the amount of space that he's gives negative space to defenders and just never gets any fouls. So I don't know what's happening there, but, it's just more Celtics bias. Everyone understands that's fine. So I'm like, I don't want to read too into this because, like you were saying, close game ish, you know, for the vast majority of it. And it didn't look like we were not competitive in ways that we've been not competitive with the Celtics in the past. So, like, you know, silver lining, not the worst. But I do still think that part of the next phase of growth for this team will be late game execution. It's for whatever reason, like this, and this tracks back to last year too, that late game execution just falls off a cliff. And I don't know, it feels like self-imposed, completely unforced errors all the time.
So in the 4-game win streak, obviously when you're winning 4 games in a row, you have some level of late game execution. They had against the Raptors, had it against the Wizards.
We're talking about elite teams, Mike, not Magic and Wiz. Your Wiz. No, but
I think that's even – the team was playing so bad early on in the year that I think by even beating the Raptors and Wizards in late game-ish situations is something to hang your hat on for this team, because it is showing a line of progression. They had the 4 games that they won in a row. They just lost to the Celtics. They have 2 more home games before they go on a 4-game road trip. Okay, they play the Hornets, which God forbid if they lose that game. Mm-hmm. They played Sunday night. They would play the Hornets on a Wednesday night. That is a lot of time. There's a lot of et cetera podcasts that will be recorded between Sunday night and Wednesday night for that Hornets game.
Yeah,
they play a Friday nighter at home against the Hawks. And then they go on the road, a back-to-back. They go to Indy, the dreaded Pacers team, which I feel like they've already played 1,000 times this year already.
Yeah.
They play the dangerous Pacers on a back-to-back at home in Indy. And so they are at the tier, I think, of they've become very dangerous for the mid-tier teams. They are beginning to not separate themselves, because in the standings that's not the case, but I think they are showing some level of class between them and, like, I would say the Pacers, but the Pacers keep beating them, between Toronto, Wizards, teams like that, and the cushy, soft, gooey middle of that Eastern Conference Oreo cookie.
Yeah.
Are they that top cracker, though? They are not that top chocolatey wafer.
Yeah. Here's what we're doing. We're I don't want to fall into the same habits that we did last year, which is talk ourselves past, like, is this a better than second round playoff team at the moment? Like, we're definitely around that echelon for sure, right? Maybe lock that in.
What do you think, a second round playoff team? We are for sure.
I mean, even that's if we fall into that dreaded seventh or eighth seed.
So this season, more than almost any, it is crucial to not be in the play-in.
Yeah,
because the play-in teams are going to feed into the Celtics and Bucks. Mm-hmm. And as good as the Cavs have been this year, they will not be the Celtics and Bucks.
No,
I am terrified of a Celtics series or a Bucks series in the first round.
Yeah.
Terrified.
I mean, it's pretty early to be talking playoffs, but yeah.
Let's do it. Break it down right now. Let's project out all the schedules. Yeah. No, the Nets are the eighth seed at the moment, by the way. They're tied 6.5 games back with 3 other teams.
Yeah.
The Hawks are 5.5 games back from the Celtics. So, like, it's a bunched Eastern Conference.
And, you know, shout out to Nets Daily, had a good article about Jacques Vaughn era, doing a little analysis there. And, you know, net rating, top 5 team. Defensive rating, top 2.
The defensive improvement has been, like, completely significant For this year. And remember, for most of that, Ben Simmons hasn't been here. Now, is Ben Simmons yeah, being away from the team helpful or hurtful?
Part of the problem. Yeah.
I don't really want to, you know, I think he would have helped, because you still look at, you know, we should talk TJ Warren in a minute, but okay. Let's do that. Well, there'll be an after the break type conversation.
Nice tease.
Even if Ben Simmons isn't what he was, which I don't know if he'll ever be, you know, he still provided like 12 points a game that on fairly efficient shots, because he refuses to take any shot that's not right next to the bucket. So regardless of how maybe diminished that he is, he still provided at least some level of like more than Cam Thomas. Dude, where Cam Thomas, you dude, have
those Cam Thomas no minutes clue. Are getting brutal at the moment. I hate to do this. I hate to bury the guy.
Do you know who likes Cam Thomas a lot?
I don't know.
Kevin Durant.
Is that true still? I mean, I don't know, man. Like, how, like, yeah, we're all rooting for the guy. We're all rooting for him. Don't get me wrong, but
no, you're not.
Holy Lord, are those, those are myopic time suck minutes right now. Like, he takes, like, the second shot that he took was this, the most insane contested, always jumping too high mid ranger that, like,
but also not even jumping high. He just jumps, like, as far away as possible.
Yeah.
And then he bends his knees while he's in the air to make it look like he's higher in the air.
It's anyways. So we can.
Why do we hate Cam Thomas so much? We hate
because,
it.
You know why? It's because we're so horny for an actual playmaking ball handling guard right now. And like, he's the de facto version of that. And it's just so not what he's meant to be.
The fact that the Celtics, even at the time when they got Malcolm Brogdon, I was like, these MFers. If the Nets
exactly
had Malcolm Brogdon.
The player we need. It's exactly the player.
He would be starting for this team.
Yeah.
They probably would have traded Kyrie by now, because Malcolm Brogdon would at least have ably been a reliable point guard. You know, I am horny for Mike Connolly. Well, Malcolm Brogdon is Mike Connolly, but younger and better.
Yeah,
frankly, at this point.
Yeah,
and they got him for like a second round pick in Aaron
for
Neesmith.
Nothing. I know. It's how do they do it, Mike? What's
could the Nets have done a second round pick in Cam Thomas?
I don't know.
No, probably not. I don't know. Probably not.
But yeah, anyways, that is the perfect person.
The thing is, there's not many of those guys, because like I would always bring up George Hill, right, as the archetype for the bench guard who's reliable. There's just not that many.
I was saying that last night, and it's weird. There's a pretty high concentration of them. Like Marcus Smart is not really the same version of that, but he's like a total like floor general, despite like being kind of an erratic, weird player. And Malcolm Brogdon's like a way more restrained version of that. There's just not a whole lot of just like real ball handling plus playmaking first and foremost guards right now in the market.
Let's do a quick break. Coming back,
let's get TJ Warren.
I do want to talk.
Let's fire up TJ Warren.
Little TJ Warren talk and more about some more Nets role players like Joe Harris, Royce O'Neal. I think we just need a quick check in on all those.
Let's do that. Yeah.
And we're back. Brian.
Okay.
Significant moment. TJ Warren, after 706 days of not playing professional basketball, played basketball. And he looks pretty good. He scored, I think he scored 10 points in the first game and, I don't know, 5 in the second one or whatever it was.
I did forget that he's pretty tall. He's way taller than I thought.
And as tends to happen when you're out from basketball for that long, he got skinny. He didn't get chunky. He's like a slithe. S-L-I-T-H-E.
Lithe? Don't know, lithe?
Lithe. Is there even an S there?
I don't think so. Slight.
Slight. Yeah, that's probably just a better word for it overall. I am mucho interested in what Mr. Warren is going to mean to this team. The first game, 5 for 11 from the field. He hit his first jumper, 10 points. Second game against Boston, 1 for 4.
It wasn't just a jumper, too. He did a beautiful little head fake and... You know, guy closing out whizzes by him. It was right in the flow of the game already, Mike.
You probably didn't see this, but did you see, I forget who had it, but Edmund Sumner was, people asked him about TJ Warren because he played with TJ, or at least he was on the roster with TJ Warren in Indy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Edmund had torn his Achilles. So he came back from injury and TJ Warren was really leaning on Joe Harris and other teammates like that. Mm-hmm. And TJ Warren is not known as a talker.
Okay.
And they asked Edmund Sumner, they said, hey, did you talk to TJ about what it's like to come back from an injury after a long time off? He's like, Yeah, it's totally crazy because the guy doesn't talk that much. And he was asking me for advice. Very weird. That's what he said. Yeah. I was like, how quiet do you have to be that?
Yeah.
What are your teammates
it's notable?
Like, it is weird that he talked to me. Yeah. I was worried because he began to say words.
Yeah.
This team is, it's so funny. At times it feels like they have no bench and no contributions from the bench. And then you look at their bench and it's like Seth Curry, TJ Warren, Markieff Morris, who's had a very consequential NBA career, Patty Mills, who doesn't play at times, Cam Thomas, who is like the greatest NBA prospect of all time.
Are you forgetting Yuta Watanabe? I mean, my God.
Yuta Watanabe is going to come back. Did you see I got in Kevin O'Connor's mentions?
No, I didn't.
Known good guy, KOC from The Ringer, tweet out like a top 10 list of the best shooters in the NBA right now, according to like Second Spectrum Stats or one of those stat companies.
Okay.
And the statistic was attempts with 3-point percentage. Mm-hmm. And I just said, Kevin, this is a fraudulent list.
Yeah.
Yuta Watanabe, the god, Yuta the shooter, needs to be number one. I don't care what analytics list you're looking at. The dude's put it up 57% from three this year. He is going to break records.
What was the minimum attempts that they just just undercut him, surely, to keep him out of the top?
Well, it's attempts times 3-point percentage. So it's like Yuta was 12th. Kevin actually responded, was like, it's actually impressive that Yuta's 12th on this list considering how many free throw attempts. And I think he took me seriously. He thought I was actually saying it was a fraudulent list. And I immediately felt like completely horrible.
People just don't get you, Mike. Has that been a lifelong struggle for you? Yeah.
Kevin O'Connor shouldn't have gotten me in that moment because, frankly, I'm just a glue guy.
When do you think people started to not understand you? Let's go back.
Oh, from birth, you know.
I mean, I will say
I was a C-section baby and I wanted not to be.
Credit to Mike Smeltz, who I have never seen anybody more okay with bad engagement than Mike Smeltz on the internet. You really don't care about bad engagement.
What does that mean?
Like, people say negative things to you and you just don't care.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
No. Why would I?
Yeah. Good. They misunderstand like 90% of your jokes and then, but you just don't care.
You mean because I keep doing it?
Yeah.
I keep powering through with my, with my bad jokes?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I'm convinced at some point I'll be discovered as like the greatest sardonic comedian of our times.
Okay.
But I've just been tooling away on the Glue Guys podcast.
Okay.
With you.
Somebody's going to reach out.
By the way, I don't know if I should ever share the link. I have a resume website, and Brian, it's a website for like my narrative podcast efforts, my very high-minded, like
little plug for Mike Smeltz
elevated
LLC.
Premium podcast that I do. Yeah. And Brian's face is on there.
I am.
Did you feel good about that?
I felt
great.
That
make you feel good?
Thank you. Thank you for including me.
I was like, you know, you are this relationship.
Because I didn't respond to the message. That's why. Because I didn't. I have a problem where I'll read someone's message and I'll be like, cool, I read it. And then I need to throw an emoji on there or react.
I mean, I haven't messaged you a little bit extra on Hangouts and you haven't responded once. I think about that.
I said a little bit.
A little bit.
I mean, everyone out there who's ever messaged me, you guys know the experience. So I don't know what's wrong with me. That's my problem.
No, I've been with you enough to know that never to.
Yeah.
Expect. I mean, you don't know the name of my dog, which is
Lucy.
That's the most.
I love Lucy.
Shut the fuck up. I hate it. Anyways, but Brian is in there as one of one of the moments of success. Which should that be looked at as?
No, that's good. That's a passion project. But hey, shout out to Mike Smeltz Productions.
Another thing I sent you was from Ben Jacobs, which was Kanye West on Nazis. They did good things too. We have to stop dissing the Nazis all the time.
It's a hot take, but you know. That's a pretty hot take, I will say, as far as hot takes go.
Speaking of hot takes,
yeah,
what are we to do? Joe Harris, by the way, since we last spoke, I honestly think he listens to the podcast and it just motivates him because he started hitting 3-point shots and was one of the few good things. Not the few good. He just was a good. He was a good thing in that Celtics game. He is marching his way back.
Okay.
Seth Curry has played.
Dude,
some good games.
Couldn't get in the game last night. That was infuriating. What, like these ticky tacky? Tripping fouls. I think we need to evaluate the trip.
What do you think? Do you think trips should be allowed?
I think it should just be like a side out. Like, I don't think it should count again. Like, if you truly incidentally just get like tangled up with somebody, like, I don't know. It seems very mutual. It just seemed like it kept happening last night where like they would just get their legs tangled up.
Yeah, it was a very odd Seth Curry game. One shot on 14 minutes and four fouls and one rebound. It's like you never see that from him.
Just couldn't get in.
I am very interested. Like, so it's almost like the Celtics game is a bad thing to try to use as a microcosm for what this current run has been, right? Because the Celtics are so good that being close means something. But of course, if they had won the game, I would have called you. I was thinking about doing an emergency pod if they had won that game. Because it would have meant something. Of the season.
Yeah.
They would have been 14-11. They would have immediately shot up to like the fourth seed in the East. It would have been every morning show besides talking about NFL would have been, are the Nets back? By the way, the Lakers are back. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Have you seen what the Lakers have been doing?
I saw Anthony Davis' stat line last night. Good God.
Anthony Davis is just mauling teams against Milwaukee. He had 44 points and 10 rebounds against Giannis. And then against the Wizards, he had 55-7.
Yeah.
They are just absolutely just dying. So it would have been an exciting Nets Lakers. Are they back? Conversation.
The rivalry that never was, you know?
Remember that?
Yeah.
Remember how excited we were, like Lakers Nets finals?
Yes.
Which is going to happen.
This is the season.
Do you think it's going to happen this year?
It's the year.
I'm very interested to see like how TJ Warren slots in. I would like Ben Simmons to come back soon because really the thing is going to elevate anything. It's like, can Ben continue how he was playing for that little stretch? Can he be a 12-7-7 guy?
I think he can.
Cause what he does is, God, and it's not going to happen this way. But my dream is that he is a good enough ball handler again that at least in these end of game situations, it's not just like he's going to get fouled. I know it's going to be hack a Ben at times, but at least it's not on like Kyrie to just put up a disgusting thing, or it's on KD who then is going to commit a turnover.
Yeah.
Like I would like one more player out there who has a little bit more of oomph.
Yeah.
Well, I guess I don't know if it's bad.
Before he went out, he was, and we talked about this a little bit, he's starting to add that extra new dimension of his game of just like in the half court, staring down a defender and like taking him off the dribble towards the basket for better or worse. But like up until he just like just this most recent injury, like that wasn't happening. And then suddenly it was. And then now he's hurt again.
When's Utah Watanabe?
I know these hamstrings, Mike. So what are we going to do about hamstrings in general? There's a hamstring epidemic. Specifically on this team.
Not very kosher situation.
Dating back to Jeremy Lin. I mean, that was the original sin.
That was the original hamstring situation.
Yeah.
LeVert was not a hamstring, but it was just legs.
Just legs in general.
All lower body extremities.
Yeah. There's somebody out there who still gets on you about your LeVert has no legs take.
I bet you it's LeVert's mom. Yeah. Like it has to be a LeVert family member
remember his name, but he's out there, he's like still pop up in the mentions once in a while. I'd be like, it's like LeVert has no legs, giant question mark. Like he had 23 last night, idiot.
Yeah, exactly. I did think about this. Joe Harris is playing better, so I don't know about. But like the Cavs are a team, I think we've talked about this before, but the Cavs are a team that could use a shooter like Joe. Would you want LeVert back on the team for Joe Harris?
No.
No, right?
No.
No.
I love LeVert, but it's just not, I mean, we've talked about him in
the dust.
It's not that efficient a player, just not a good fit.
Very interesting. I mean, again, to look at the Nets schedule coming up, as they continue to, they had the 4-game win streak, they lost against Boston. The Hawks are a good team. They sit above them in the standings.
But there's drama there, Mike.
What, in Atlanta because Trae Young?
Trae Young got into a verbal disagreement with Nate, and now he doesn't play.
It's funny to think that Trae Young is like this pretty disruptive, seems like a pretty disruptive force. And the fact that John Collins' name is out there and the Nets have checked in on John Collins. Can I ask you this? Would you want John Collins.
He's having a weird year statistically. I mean, I'll say that. Like, he's slightly underperforming relative to our expectations.
I've always really liked him. And I think he's interesting as, like, he's big enough to where he could play small ball five at moments if you're going, like, balls to the wall and all that stuff. But, like, him and Ben Simmons, and, like, if you're trading for John Collins, are you actually trading Ben Simmons to Atlanta?
Yeah, it's going to be, like, still pretty pricey.
Or are you doing, like, the Joe Harris thing, and, like, then if you have Ben Simmons and John Collins, and, like, so Nick Claxton isn't playing anymore, and it's I don't know.
I mean, in general, you want John Collins. I'll say that. I don't want to make it but, like, yes, price is an important part of that conversation.
His nickname is the Baptist. Do you know, is that because John Collins?
Because his first name is John the Baptist.
Got it.
It's a, you wouldn't think he would get it. That? This is a, yeah.
By the way, Kyrie did tweet out a video. So the news came out that Nike has officially cut ties. Like, after the suspension, they have cut ties with Kyrie. By the way, Shams, vicious tweet. Here's what he said. Okay. He said, Kyrie's no longer a Nike athlete. Then he quote tweeted that to then say that Ja Morant is in line for a new signature shoe at Nike in the near future, which is so brutal. To be like, Kyrie is cut. These should be two separate things.
Yeah.
But no, in fact, Shams is linking Kyrie's end of his career at Nike with, but we got another guy coming.
And you know, it's the other thing too, is we're having this discussion on the stream last night, which you don't know about because you're not in the Discord, which is discord.gg/goodguys. Again, Twitter is a cesspool. Join the Discord. It's a higher, more elevated conversation with all of your cool friends. And we were talking about in the stream how part of why people are so, like, why Kyrie is such a difficult person to talk about, and, like, there's so many, like, different sort of approaches to why you're a stan of Kyrie. A big part of it is that he's so optically pleasing. It gives you a very specific kind of, like, you know, we're just humans like pretty things, and Kyrie is a very, you know, pretty basketball player. Everything he does is very nice. But the only one who might be more pretty is Ja Morant. So he's coming after him on a variety of fronts, Mike. He's coming after him shoe deal wise and basketball aesthetics wise, and also, you know, winning basketball wise. So that's.
And Ja just tweeted, hey, Kanye has got a lot of good points. That's what Ja just tweeted.
No, he did not. Yeah. Don't do that, Mike.
I love that idea that Kyrie is so aesthetically pleasing that it's hard to separate that from, like, all the other stuff. Like, I'm trying to think of, like, there's tons of food that, of course, is horrible for you but tastes great. But, like, I'm just trying to think of, like, almost like a sci-fi, like, dystopian future where you think that the environment that you live in is so nice and pleasant that, in fact, you're in a prison.
Yeah.
You are imprisoned.
What you're thinking of is the Matrix. He's the Matrix. Is Willy Wonka, where they have the thing that's a three-course meal inside of, like, one jelly bean or whatever.
Yeah.
And then she explodes from, it turns into a blueberry or something. Something like that.
Does she turn into a blueberry off of that?
I don't know. I think that's the one. It ends on, like, blueberry pie or something. Anyways, but you get my point.
One girl turns into a blueberry.
Yeah.
Explodes into a blueberry.
I think that's what it is. It's a three-course meal.
And her guts are splayed all across the faces of the...
Jesus.
The
little guts.
What are the people?
The Oompa Loompas.
Nice. Anyways, great episode today.
Hey, we locked it in. We got in there perfect on the dot. 31 minutes, 42 seconds, just like we planned. Mike, where do they find us?
Find us on Twitter at BKGlueGuys, NetsDaily.com, YouTube, great YouTube. Yeah. Everyone hanging out on there. Discord, discord.gg/GlueGuys.
Yes.
Honestly, if you're a Nets fan, it's just where you should be. I don't, you know, it has nothing to do with us.
Don't be intimidated by it. You see, you come in on the welcome screen, go to the general thread. That's where everyone's hanging out. It's a good time. Hey, Mike, thanks for having me.